about going up there and just getting to hang out and fellowship. So that's January 15th. That's MLK weekend. So I don't know what sermon I'm going to preach about, but anyway, I'm just excited to be able to go. So anyway, and then for the prime rib dinner, I think my wife was confused about what I was saying. So she's going to make a sign up for all the sides and who's going to be cooking the prime ribs. So we'll probably need like, I don't know, 7 or 8 prime ribs. And I think, honey, how many are you going to make? Just one? One or two? Anyway, so we'll probably need some volunteers to do that. So we'll just put it in the WhatsApp group and you can sign up for which one you want. And then we'll probably bring the prime ribs on to church on Thursday night of that week. So of this week, I guess it's Thursday. Good night. It's come upon us so quickly. I mean, it's the holidays are here. So anyway, if you want to bring sides or desserts, that's going to be a sign up for that too. So anyway, and then I just wanted to say we need to do be thinking about Brother Robert. He lost his dad yesterday, and he flew out to Iowa to go be with him. And so that's really hard, losing a parent. And also Miss Shanae Adams, she's come to visit here before, but her brother died. And both of them passed away from COVID, so from complications to COVID. So anyway, she's very upset and sad, and I understand why, because it's hard to lose people that you love. And also for Miss Kimmy, she goes to Verity Baptist, and she's had some health issues, and they're trying to figure out what it is. So if you want to spend some extra time in prayer for them, then I'm sure that their families and they would appreciate that. We're a family integrated church. That means the children and infants are welcome during the church services. Please utilize those rooms as necessary. They have comfortable seating, and you can still listen to the sermons in there. Please reserve the back row for families with young children. Rockers are for pregnant and nursing mothers and elders only. Please no men in the mother baby rooms and vice versa. No unattended children in any area of the building. Please no food in the assembly area unless we're having like a special event. And if you would, silence your cell phones or put them on airplane mode for the service. And escorts to vehicles by ushers are available. And then you can see the tithes and offerings that have come in so far for the month of December. And we sang all the birthdays. CJ made it into the bulletin, so that's good. How old are you, Brother CJ? 38. Dang, you're getting old, bro. I remember when you were just a little whippersnapper. Yeah. Anyway, so, and then Brandon, he's 23. Oh, man, to be 23 again. Oh, what I would do as a 23. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't even saved when I was 23, so he's got a big leg up on us. Anyway, so, and then Zoe turned 5 on the 6th. And Sean, your birthday's the 21st, huh? Made it in. It wasn't in there before. What happened? I don't know. Maybe I just didn't see it. Anyway, let's sing another song. I think that's all I got for announcements. Let's sing another song. We'll receive the offering.
Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Psalm 67, let's all sing it out loud on that first verse. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. The nations upon earth see love. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God shall bless us in all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
Man, great singing. At this time, we'll have our offering. Brother Sean Collin, can you bless the offering for us?
Father in heaven, I thank you for this day and this opportunity to be in church, Lord. I pray that you would just prepare our hearts for the message, Lord. Please give us ears to hear, Lord, and fill past with your spirit, Lord. I pray to bless this offering, bless both the gift and the giver. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 50, Psalm number 50. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you one. Psalm 50. Psalm 50, the Bible reads, "The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come, and not shall keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat of flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou contentest with me, with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Brother Remy, will you pray for us?
The title of the sermon this morning is The Three Spheres of Authority. The Three Spheres of Authority. Now, there are three main spheres of authority in our lives. Of course, God is the ultimate authority, and all the structure that He puts forth in the Bible and through the church, that's the number one authority and has authority over all the other spheres of authority in our lives. Now, we also have government. God instituted government, and the government does have authority in our lives in certain aspects. And also the home. There's an authority inside the home. And all these are structured, and God puts these forth in the Bible so that we can know what our spheres of authority are in this life. Now let's look at verse number 10. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." So God is talking to the children of Israel. He's like, I don't really need your food. I don't need you to feed me. He's God. He has authority over everything. And He says right in verse number 12 that the world is mine. Everything in this world belongs to God. All the cattle, you know, people, these ranchers, they put brands on their cattle and stuff like that and all of their animals. But ultimately, God still owns every cattle, all cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. And He doesn't need anything from us. We need things from Him. Yep. And He's the ultimate authority, and He's the ultimate authority when it comes to government also. Now, do all governments obey the Lord? Absolutely not. Do all kings obey the Lord? Well, there's hardly any kings left anymore. But the kings have been replaced by, you know, these dictators. Like, we're kind of living in a dictatorship right now, if you think about it. I mean, basically, all these orders come down and mandates that are not constitutional. I mean, we live under a constitutional republic, but it doesn't seem like it, does it? It's a lot like Rome. Rome was a republic at one point, too, that became a democracy, which ultimately became a dictatorship. And then the Caesars were the most wicked and vile people you could ever imagine. And so in the end, Rome was destroyed and the leaders were corrupted. And, you know, if they would have been, you know, doing the things that God wanted them to do, that wouldn't happen. But, you know, and obviously governments throughout time have not obeyed God. But He still instituted government for specific reasons. Now, we do have authority. God has given the government authority over certain aspects of our life, and He's also given authority in the home. And the head of the home is who? It's God. It's still God. So, you know, when people delve out and go into different areas of life where they shouldn't be going, or a family is just, you know, not a non-believing family, you know, there's still an authority in that family. But if you don't have God as your authority, if God isn't in charge of your marriage, if God isn't in charge of your home, if God isn't in charge of your government, if right things aren't being done by your government, you know, it becomes a mess. And obviously the devil, you know, he has his principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places. But ultimately God still reigns over him. He wasn't allowed to attack Job unless God gave him permission. So remember, God is the ultimate ruler over everything. So say the government tells you that you have to wear, everybody has to wear pink pajamas and be in bed at 8 o'clock at night. Do you have to obey that rule? No. Absolutely not, because they don't have authority in your home. Amen. in that manner. Yep. So, and in the same way, you know, the church, like me as a pastor, do I have authority in your home of what you personally do in your personal time? No, I don't. But while we're here, I do have authority, okay? And the authority is given to me by the Word of God, and the authority is given to me by God as the pastor of the church. And so, basically, when it comes down to it, God is in charge of everything. Defer everything to God. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1:1. And actually, I'll just have you turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. I'm going to read Genesis 1:1. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God is the one that made this world. God is the one that has rule over this world because he's the creator. He's the one that makes the rules. He's the one that enforces the rules. And when I say, when I'm talking about three spheres of authority, that means that there is an authority structure. You know, we're supposed to obey the voice of the Lord. We're supposed to obey his commandments and keep his commandments. And just like the dad is in charge of the home, you know, God's ultimately in charge of the home, but the man is supposed to operate within that realm. And the man is the head of the home. He's the head of the wife and oversees what happens in the home. And that's his job. And so there's also a chain of command in every authority in our lives. There's a chain of command in the government. The privates don't go to the brigadier general and tell them their grievances, do they? No, they don't. Now, obviously, we can go right to the source when it comes to going to God. We can go through the Lord. We still have to go through the Lord Jesus, though. Right? So we pray in the name of Jesus, or in the name of Jesus Christ, to the Father, and our requests are made known in that manner. And also in government, I mean, things work a little bit differently, but what I'm trying to say is that there's an authority structure put in place. The kids are not supposed to be ruling the house. But what do you see in America today? Kids ruling over their parents. I was in Walmart last night. I went to buy some Christmas presents, and I just happened to hear this conversation where this little girl, she's probably this tall, I don't know, maybe that tall. She comes up to her mom. She's like, "Why did you leave me here?" And she's like, "Well, I told you to come on." She was just like, had this little snappy attitude towards her mom. It's like, whoosh, you know, that handles that real quick. Your children shouldn't be ruling over you. You should be ruling over your children and teaching them what's right, what's wrong, and training them up in the ways of the Lord. So there is an authority. There's three different spheres of authority: God, government, and the home. And we should learn how we should behave and how we should interact in those authorities. So the authority, everybody has an authority in their life. I have authority in my life. You know, I'm not, you know, I have God to look up to for my guidance, and the Bible is my manual, basically. And it's the Word of God, and it was given to us so that we can know. And as a pastor, that's what I defer to. I don't defer to my own opinions. If I give you advice, I'm gonna do my best to make it out of the Word of God, because that's how we're supposed to function in life, is by the Bible. So God created the heaven and the earth. God owns this place. God runs this place, and you know, ultimately, he's the one that we should go to as our authority. And it trumps government. It trumps the family. The Lord Jesus Christ made that very clear, and I'll address that at the end of the sermon. But God made this world. He has the authority, and everything in it is his. Is anybody in a disagreement about that? No. Now, at this church, we believe in the Trinity. And I took this off our website because I think it explains what we believe about the Trinity very well. It says, "We believe in the Trinity, which is the belief that there is one God that exists in three persons. The three persons or members of the Godhead are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three members of the Godhead are distinct and separate persons, each possessing their own body, intellect, and will. The three are all equally God and eternal, meaning that they have eternally existed as three persons. The three members of the Godhead voluntarily submit themselves under a chain of command. We acknowledge that each member of the Godhead is not partially God or a part of God, but believe that each member is all God and all of God. We reject partialism, the belief that each member of the Godhead is part of a God of God that comes together to make up one God." So we don't believe that they're all 33.3% of God. They're all God and all of God. We reject polytheism, the belief that each member of the Godhead is a separate God. That's what the Mormons believe and other false churches. We reject oneness, the belief that each member of the Godhead is the same person playing different roles. We don't believe that. Muslims believe in oneness. And there's some Pentecostals that believe in oneness. Tyler Baker believes in oneness. There was a big fight over that years ago, and I'm sure some of you guys know about that. But ultimately, the reason why I was showing you this is because we believe that, you know, we believe the Trinity, but We believe that there's a chain of command within the Godhead. Not because they're not equally God, but it's because one, you know, the Father, the Son submits to the Father, and the Holy Ghost teaches people and wants to proclaim the name of Jesus to others, but they're still all God. But there is a chain of command. So just like there's a chain of command in the Godhead, there's a chain of command in every aspect of our life and every authority of our life. I had you turn to Exodus chapter 20. Look what it says. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So why am I bringing that up? Because, well, first of all, we believe that. We believe that verse. At this church, that's what we believe. We believe God created the heaven and the earth in 6 literal 24-hour periods. It didn't take evolution or theistic evolution. You know, God just killing a bunch of things to make us get to where we were apes and now all of a sudden we're human. We don't believe that garbage. It's trash doctrine. God made everything the way it was, and everything was made at the same time. There wasn't different creatures that came into existence over billions of years and some plant that turned into an alligator or whatever. That's what they want us to believe. They want us to believe that an explosion created everything and, you know, out of chaos came a perfect system that we could live in, that if we were any further away from the sun or any closer to the sun, we would all die. God made it perfect. He made a system to where we could live in it, and it's perfect. So, and he made mankind. A man was not an ape. Man has never been an ape. You know, just because we share DNA, you know, like they say 98% DNA or whatever. Yeah, but that 2% makes it a lot different. They don't have thumbs that work like us. They're animals. You could teach a monkey sign language or whatever, but you can teach a dog how to roll over. So does that mean that they're human? I mean, that's stupid. So Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God allowed man to have dominion over things. So you see the chain of command. God's the head. The Godhead is the head. And then you have mankind coming in, and he's allowing them to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, you know, these people that, you know, are crazy about their dogs and animals and stuff, and, you know, it gets to be too much, doesn't it? Or they're, you know, and if you ever dress up a dog, you know, I'm not getting down on you, but some people are just pretty weird with their animals, and they love them like more, or they think they're on equal ground with human beings. But if God said we have dominion over them, that means they're not better than us. And that means, and I'm not saying kick dogs whenever you walk past them or anything like that. I think we should be, you know, kind to animals and things like that. But, you know, sometimes dogs go to the bathroom in the house and they got to get beaten, you know. They're like, oh, oh. Yeah, they got to get beaten sometimes, you know. And otherwise they won't fear you, you know. If that's what the newspaper or whatever you have to do, you know, those little yapper dogs, you know. You know, you don't punt one of those across the room. You know, that's a little extreme, right? You can just swat it with something. But if, you know, a lot of people just snack train their dogs and things like that. But those dogs, you know, they're not going to be as tame as a dog that fears you. And they should fear us. Animals should, if they don't fear you, then at some point they're going to do something and you're not going to have control over them, because they're not going to be afraid to do that thing. So anyway, enough about that. But it says in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So who was the first one made? Adam was made first, right? And, you know, the Bible says that we're made in the image of God, but he also created female, and he made Eve out of Adam's rib. So this is the thing, you know, we couldn't do that modern day today. You know, God performed the first surgery, you know, the first day. And so he was able to, you know, successfully close up Adam. I don't know, he probably didn't have to use stitches. It probably just healed, or I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to think about that, but he's God. He can do whatever. Nothing's impossible with him. Now turn to John 1:1. Turn to John 1:1. So You know, and point number one is that the first sphere of authority is God's authority. The first sphere of authority is God's authority. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So, who is this Word of God? Well, we all know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Bible says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And skip down to verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh." That's how we know it's Jesus. Okay, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what do we call this book? The Word of God, right? So the Word of God was made flesh. I'm not saying He was a book, but the Spirit, you know, Jesus, you know, is the Word of God, and the words of God are in this book for us. And so it is an authority in our life. The words of Jesus are in here. The words of God in the Old Testament are in here. The commandments of God and the authority. You know, He doesn't make any bones about it when He says, "Thus saith the Lord." He means it. Okay? He's saying this is ultimate authority. When God says something and He says, "Thus saith the Lord," then take it to the bank. That's what He wants you to do. That's what He's proclaiming is going to happen. If God says something, it happens. Period. And so, and ultimately, you know, I want to obey somebody, and I want to love a God that, you know, has this ultimate authority. But a lot of people rebel against God, don't they? They don't want to believe in Him. And, you know, I've been making we've been putting up those creation, like, little questions up on our YouTube page. And, you know, of course, some of the atheists have gotten a hold of it, and they start rambling off their dumb things about it. But ultimately, they just don't want God as their authority. They probably don't attack Muslims like that. They probably don't attack any other faith like that, but they always want to attack Christianity because they know it's the real one. Amen. They want to attack the God of the Bible because they know deep down inside that He is the real God. Amen. And they won't admit that to you, but why would they hate something that they don't believe in? I mean, if it's not true, if it's a story like Santa Claus, then why would they even waste their time with stuff like that? And I'm sure atheists tell their kids that they're Santa Claus. Figure that one out. But anyway, the Bible is our authority. The Lord Jesus Christ is our authority. God is our authority. Look at Colossians. Actually, look at 1 John 5:7. I'm going to just read for you in Colossians 2:8-10. Colossians 2:8-10 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." So yes, Satan has his principalities and power, but ultimately Christ is still the head of Satan's army also. And, you know, I'm sure that bothers the devil, but, you know, he's going to lose. When it ultimately comes down to it, and this 200 million man army comes up to Jerusalem to fight, and Jesus comes down and with all of His saints with Him, He doesn't need any of the help from any of the saints with Him, does He? Amen. Does it say we get into battle, we come back with our AR-15s and we're just like getting some? No, it doesn't say that. We don't do anything. We just come with Him. Amen. And observe and watch Him destroy this army. Amen. With the sword of His mouth. And the sword of His mouth is the Word of God. He doesn't even have to lift a finger. He can just say, "Die," and they all die. Right? And so He's the head of all principality and power. And you know, when the beast and false prophet are taken and cast into hell, they don't put up a fight. Does it say, well, they did really good, they killed a bunch of people? Nope. They just get smoked. They just get thrown in the lake of fire. You know, they're taken. It says they're taken and thrown in the lake of fire. Period. Alive. So just like Korah and his buddies. So, I mean, ultimately, God is the authority over everybody. And when He sets out to do something, it's going to get done. Nobody's going to stop Him. The devil can't stop Him. The false prophet and the beast, they're going to be real scary to us, those people that are left on the earth, anybody that's around during that time. It's going to be scary. Nobody, who can make war with the beast? Everybody's going to say. You know who can make war with the beast? Jesus Christ. He's just going to walk up and go flick like a flea and cast them into hell. So you're in 1 John 5:7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So God is the ultimate authority. There's a chain of command within the Godhead. And so also he's instituted the local New Testament church, and Christ is the head of that church. So God's authority goes through the local New Testament church. And, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, they do these parachurch ministries where there's no local church in authority over what they're doing. Those things are not biblical. What Kent Hovind is doing is not biblical. He's not an evangelist still, you know, by any definition. He's basically running a compound down in Alabama. And, you know, it saddens me. I hate that that happened. I hate that he's gone the way he's gone, but he's not under the authority of a local church. He has no pastor. Who's his pastor? He's the pastor. You know, he's called, you know, I don't know if he calls himself pastor, but I know people call him pastor. And what's going on there is not biblical. You know, this Hocus Pocus on the Family and all these other shows that are on the radio and all this other stuff. Hey, you know, same thing with Ken Ham. Who's his pastor? You know, it's Ken Ham. He's just declared himself the leader of this Answers in Genesis, where, you know, he's basically preaching a false gospel. Not basically, he is preaching a false gospel. And let me just tell you something. And I'll just bring this up about, you know, people criticize us about believing easy believism. Well, let me tell you something about easy believism. If you don't believe in easy believism, then you're preaching another gospel. You're not even saved. So the Bible says it's easy to be saved. All you have to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ and you're saved. So let's see, where did I have you turn next? I didn't have you turn anywhere, did I? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, Ephesians 5 is a very famous passage. I've preached out of it lots of times. And it's talking about the relationship between a husband and wife. But the primary application is talking about Jesus Christ's position within the church, isn't it? Because at the end, the Apostle Paul says, "But I speak about Christ, but, you know, it's good for husbands and wives," or whatever, I'm paraphrasing, but it's, you know, he's speaking about Christ in the church is ultimately what he's talking about here. So look at verse 23 in Ephesians 5. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as," so just like the husband's the head of the wife, "even as Christ is the head of the church." So who's the head of the church? Christ. So who's the authority of this church? Christ. And he gives us his words in the Bible. That's the authority that we are supposed to obey in this church. But how many churches out there are not even obeying the Bible? They think it's a book of fairy tales. They have queers as their pastors. How does that work? You know, when the Bible says that they are worthy of death in Romans chapter 1, then how are they the pastor of the church? Explain that one to me. You know, there's some football ex-football player that came out queer or whatever, and, you know, there's some Netflix special about it or something. And it's like, I saw part of an interview where this full-on bull dyke is like saying, you know, "You need to tell your dad the truth" and all this other stuff. It's just like, that stuff is poisoning people's minds. And how do they have, you know, if Jesus Christ is the authority in your church, how do you have a dyke as your spiritual leader? Explain that one to me. Because the guy's saying, "Well, I'm gay, but I still want to serve God." That is just a farce, people. That kind of stuff is the stuff that's turning away the hearts of Christians. It's turning them away from Bible preaching because it's not allowed according to the Word of God. And first of all, it's a woman. Second of all, it's a sodomite. So how is that allowed to happen? Because God is not their authority. Christ is not their authority. They don't have a man of God to stand up and preach to them because, you know what? They're wicked. And people want to bash Baptist churches, "Oh, these fundamentalists, and they, you know, they're just about rules, and you know, they just want to put all these this burden on us." Amen. You know, it shouldn't be a burden to obey the Word of God. Amen. If it is, your heart's not right. Period. Right. You know, if you get tired of hearing verses that say, you know, what the Bible says, amen, like how you should go to church, amen, how you should interact in church, how you should work, about going soul winning, if you get tired of that stuff, then something's wrong with you. It's not something wrong with God. It's not something wrong with this book. It's not something wrong with the pastor that's preaching it. Something wrong with you. So go ahead and go to that faggot church if you want to, Amen. But in this place, that's not going to happen. Amen. They'll never be allowed in here. They're not allowed to visit. Your queer cousin isn't going to come here and be the next pastor in line or whatever. That's not going to happen. You know, because we care about this church. We want to protect this church. God wants us to protect this church. He said, whosoever will offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it'd be better for him that a millstone were tied about his neck and be cast into the sea. So we're supposed to let these perverts into our church? We made a clip about the Joseph Rosenbaum thing, the pervert that got smoked by Kyle Rittenhouse, and I got Christians on there saying, well, we should have reached out and loved him when he got convicted. It's like, shut up, you idiot. What are you talking about? If that was your little boy, you wouldn't be saying that, you liar. You wouldn't be forgiving that guy, you stinking liar. And if you did, then you're sick. That guy got what he had coming to him, and he should have got it a long time ago. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but I just, you know, these churches don't have Christ as their authority, and that is the problem. That is the fundamental problem with these churches that have gone astray, and they're just going everyone their own way, and they got the smoke, and they got the fog machines, and they got the, you know, this stuff going on, and carrying the TV and all that stuff, and they're getting like 45 minutes worth of worship music from somebody that looks like they're in a rock band. The pastor gets up, oh, isn't that wonderful? Let me give you a poem real quick. Let me tell you a story. Oh, let me tell you another story. Oh, here's a verse. Let's pray. Feel good about yourselves. You know, that's what's happening. And so when people like that get on a video, like, I don't care about the haters. The haters can hate, whatever. But when you have someone that's saying that they're a Christian and they're getting on there and attacking, you know, what the Word of God says, they're either not saved or they're just not right with God, period. Let's get over to, are you, okay, we're still in Ephesians 5:23. It says in verse 24, it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So I'm focusing here not on I'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to focus on who we're supposed to be subject unto. It's Christ. Amen. We're supposed to be subject unto Christ. And so as the pastor of the church, I'm supposed to be subject unto Christ, and I'm supposed to teach you what Christ said. I'm supposed to teach you what the Bible teaches. And we're a New Testament church. Now, but there's still a lot of stuff that applies from the Old Testament. That's another thing that people like to say, is that you guys are just living in the Old Testament, and you're like Al-Qaeda and barbarians. So are you saying that when God, in the Old Testament, God was a barbarian and he's Al-Qaeda? He was a Taliban? What are you talking about? That's blasphemy. Yeah. Rapper DMX, he died not too long ago. If anybody ever heard of DMX, he was kind of popular when I was young. But anyway, he died of like a heart attack or something. He was on drugs for most of his life. And he said this in his, there's a documentary about him doing his last tour or something. But he claims to be a believer. He claimed to be saved, and people thought that. But, you know, he said this. He says, God doesn't come to us through a book or a building. He comes to you wherever you are. So this is the problem. This is the problem with Christianity. This is the problem with authority. He didn't have his authority on the book. See, the authority is the book. This is our manual, our training manual, our authority, our rule book. And it's also how we show love. He teaches us his commandments. But if God doesn't come to us through a book, then he doesn't come through us anywhere. Because then we wouldn't know what he wanted. That's what all these pagans used to believe a long time ago. They didn't know what the gods wanted. Hey, let's just sacrifice our children. Let's just sacrifice people. Let's just do all this weird stuff. That comes from the devil. My God is a God of organization, Amen. And order. Amen. And he orders us to do so. Well, I have a problem with authority. Well, then you better get right with God. Amen. Because if you have a problem with authority, how are you going to follow God if you can't even follow what your parents say? Right. How are you going to follow God if you can't even obey your husband? Yep. You know, if you can't lead, you're never going to lead ever if you don't learn how to follow. Right. And God is our authority, not DMX. You know, people get all excited when these, you know, these rock stars and rappers and all these people like Justin Bieber, you know, You think Justin Bieber's saved, then you have missed the boat, folks. Okay? I saw him doing like some prayer thing with Marilyn Manson. Do you think Marilyn Manson's saved? You got to be kidding me. But there's all these Hollywood weird actors and all these weirdos that they claim. Denzel Washington's another one. But just check out what they believe. Just because they say God, just because they say Jesus, doesn't make them saved. What do they believe? Do they believe salvation is by faith alone? If not, they're not saved. Period. Turn to Isaiah 43, verse 10. Isaiah 43, verse 10. The Bible says, and this is the verse that Jehovah's Witness, false witnesses like to use, but they don't understand it, obviously. Anyway, Isaiah 43, 10 says, "You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." There's no other God besides the God of the Bible. Okay, any other God is what? A false God or a demon. Right? Any idols, any other religions, there's no God formed before him, neither shall there be after him. The Jehovah's Witnesses think that Jesus is a God. In the beginning was, you know, they called Jesus a God. No. He's not a God. He's the God. Amen. That's what John, we just read John 1:1. So, in verse 11 he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no other way to be saved. There is no other Savior. It's only through Christ Jesus. God says he is the Savior. So what if Jesus is the Savior in the New Testament, what does that mean? That he's God. Okay, there's no alternative to that. If God said there's no Savior besides him, and Jesus is the one that saves people in the New Testament, we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. What does that mean? He's the Savior. He is God. It says, "I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you're my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" Once God is fixed on something to do it, then what does it say? None can deliver out of my hand. That's a scary verse. You know, you think you're going to deliver somebody out of God's hand? You're crazy. He's going to get it done. Amen. So now, the church in church work, the authority is who? The pastor of the church, right? It's not a plurality of elders. Amen. It's not some headquarters denomination like the SBC, the Southern Bastard Convention. You know, that's a wicked denomination. They don't even believe the Bible anymore. It's filled with Calvinism. Hebrews chapter 13, let's turn over there. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, you're like, well, I don't know about all this authority. Every church I've been to, we vote about what happens. So there's no vote here. You want to go to a voting church, there's plenty of them around. Go ahead and vote. Did Moses say, "Hey, God told me to do this. Would you guys want to go? Should we go into the promised land or not? You know, I know God told me to, but I'm just going to go ahead and take a vote on it and see, do you guys even want me to be the leader anymore?" I mean, that's not how things get done in the book. It's a dictatorship. And I'm not saying a bad dictatorship, but God is the one that dictates to us what we're supposed to do. Amen. And the pastor of the church is supposed to dictate what happens inside the church. Amen. You know, we don't vote on what kind of toilet paper we're going to use. We don't vote on every little thing. And people, you know, I've seen it get out of control. I've seen churches where three little old ladies are just rebuking the pastor because they didn't get the kind of toilet paper he wanted. Or that he didn't get the kind of toilet paper. We voted on this before. It's like, what am I hearing right now? Three little old lady voting members, little old ladies, are telling the pastor what kind of toilet paper they need to have. That's ridiculous. That's not in the Word of God anywhere. And, you know, the pastor is the one that has authority. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Who's it talking about? It's talking about a pastor. "As they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief." Not as a pain in the neck. You know, the pastor shouldn't just be grieved by every person that's just being a pain in the neck. It says to submit yourselves. Hey, when the pastor tells you to do something, just do it. Amen. If the and I'm talking about in church, okay? I'm not putting speaker systems or the Ring doorbell in your house so that I can just contact you whenever I want. I'm talking about in church, okay? Now, I might tell you how you should do things in your home if you're going to do them a biblical way, but am I going to come over and enforce it? After the sermon's done, do I come and knock on your door and go, hey, I just want to make sure you got all those DVDs out of here. I'm just going to make sure that, you know, you don't have any graven images in your house. I'm going to make sure that that scripture verse on the wall is King James only. I mean, that's not what I do. That's not my job. I tell you what the Word of God says. You apply it to yourself. You take it, you leave it. And that's between you and God. But in this building, whatever happens in this building or whatever ministry we're doing in this church is the pastor's job to make sure that everything's done right. It says, for not with grief, for it's unprofitable, that is unprofitable for you. So if you just run your pastor into the ground, I'm not saying you guys do this, I'm just saying in a church, God's just saying, if the pastor's always having to just have to go through grief all the time, it's unprofitable to you, because you know what you're going to do? You're going to irritate the pastor. You're going to make him want to quit. You're going to make him, you know, just, if you have to keep being told things over and over and over again, and it just becomes a grief to that person. And so it should be with joy that you know, I should be able to serve as the pastor with joy and not have to just be challenged on everything. Well, I don't like the color of the church building. I'm going to leave and take my tithes with me. Bye. Amen. I don't care. Yep. Get out. Go tell some other pastor what to do, okay? Because you're not going to tell me. Amen. So that's why our church is different. You know, I think every church in this town probably has the voting system in it. But show me in the Bible where they vote. If you can show me in the Bible where they vote and put it to a vote, then I'll believe you and I'll change, okay? And people are just like, I know. Just shut up. Anyway, so a pastor's under the authority of the Word of God and ordained to rule the church and to put everything and everyone in order, to organize, to structure, to teach and preach the Word of God, and to train people in the ministry and in church work. So that's my job. It's a big responsibility. I take it seriously. Do I always do the right thing? Probably not. Do I always make the right decision? I'm a human being. I don't always. But, you know, when we go off and we're like, hey, this is an idea, let's do this, and then it sucks, then we just change it. We just pretend like it never happened and do something else, right? I mean, why keep going and beating your head against the wall when it's not working, you know? So that's kind of how we do things. You know, if I make a bad decision, I'll own it too. You know, if I do something wrong, I'll own it. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. I realize that this first point is taking a long time, but hopefully the other ones will go faster. Anyway, 1 Peter 5, 1 says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So an elder is another word for pastor or bishop. So Peter's saying, hey, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So he's a pastor also, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. So what does that job entail? Feeding them. What do you feed them? The Word of God. Okay? So it's my job to feed the congregation the Word of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So I'm supposed to oversee what goes on. I'm the under-shepherd. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I'm the under-shepherd, and I take the oversight of it. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. So I'm not your Lord. I'm not going, you know, and telling you how to live your life. I'm feeding you the Word of God. I'm taking oversight of the things that happen in this church. But I'm not lording over your lives and telling you what jobs to work, what cars to buy. There's pastors that are like that. There's people that, pastor, I'm really thinking about getting this red Camaro or whatever. And they're like, nope, you should get the blue one. It's like, that's going a little too far. I don't really want to be that intimate with you guys to know every single car deal that you're getting, every dog you're thinking about buying, every puppy you want to train. I don't care. I got my own life to live. I don't need to run your lives too. And that's what it's talking about. So I don't lord over your home, your job, how you obey the government. I don't say how you should do those things. But I will, however, be Lord over what happens here in this building, here when we gather together in the church, and according to the word of God, and as the authority that God gave me as the ordained minister of this church. I'll teach and preach what the Bible says and let you sort it out. So I don't come over and make sure you're following up with the sermon, okay? That's not what I do. That's your job. That's your job to internalize what happens with the word of God in your life. We don't do altar calls, you know. You can sit there and get right with God, sitting there in the chair, and you need to figure it out for yourself. But the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice at this church. Because why? Because it's God's word. And Jesus Christ is the head. So number two, we're going to look at the authority of human government. Now let's look at Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible says in Romans 13, verse number 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained, or that be are ordained of God." So the Bible specifically is talking about the higher powers, these government, you know, the government that is over the top of whatever country you're in. Because every country in the world has some kind of government. So those higher powers are ordained of God. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Now, it's not talking about being damned to hell, okay, for not obeying the government. It's just talking about you're going to get yourself into trouble. You're going to get yourself, you know, if you're constantly going 90 on I-5, you're going to get in trouble eventually. And you're going to get pulled over. You're going to get like a reckless driving ticket. And you're going to have to pay the fine. And they'll probably just take you to jail if you're going that fast. So you got to be careful about stuff like that. But so, I mean, that would be, you know, and as Christians, you know, we shouldn't be these people who are just rebelling against the government over every little thing. Amen. You know, I said that we're under a dictatorship right now, and I mean that. And I think that the people that are ruling over us are wicked, but they're still in charge of us right, to a certain extent, right? So, but only the power that God gives them, okay? And the power that we have is the Constitution, right? It's not really a king. We're supposed to defer to the Constitution. And a lot of the Constitution is getting broken, isn't it? Yeah. The Constitution is getting broken. They interpret it as a living document. It's not a living document, okay? It was made once. It's not alive. This book is a living document. This book is alive. But people will compare the Constitution to the Bible. It's not even close, folks. And look at what it says in verse 2. It says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." So basically, you know, what God's saying here is that the government is not put into place to terrorize people that are good. So when we get terrorized by the government for doing good, then who's wrong? The government is wrong. When they're telling us that we can't homeschool our kids, when they're telling us we have to be forced to take some kind of vaccination that's, you know, and I'm not saying necessarily that it's a sin, but to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Yeah. If you don't believe that by faith, then, or if you believe by faith it's wrong to take a vaccination and then you take one, then you're sinning. Yeah. But, you know, so whatever they say the police come and we're soul winning in an apartment complex, who's wrong? The police are wrong. Okay, so this is where the authority, you know, we have to defer to what God says for us to do. We ought to obey God rather than man. Okay, so when the government comes down like this, you know, there's evil governments all around the world. China is a very wicked and evil government. You can't even preach the whole Bible. They're all state-run churches, or they have to be in the underground. North Korea, you're just tortured for being a Christian. I mean, these governments are wicked. And so, you know, if they're telling you not to go sowing, if they're telling us that we can't have church for some stupid reason, then they're out of their element. They're out of the zone of their sphere of authority. Okay? So, and if we're doing good, the government shouldn't be coming down on us. But what they think that what we're doing is not good when we go soul winning. So they're wrong. And God's right. It says, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So these people that are committing capital crimes and doing all this stuff, those are the people that God has instituted the government to get rid of. And we're supposed to be for, and you know, there's nothing wrong with defending your country, defending your borders. I don't think there's anything wrong in the world with that. But to go and just attack all these other countries and bend them to your will, that's kind of what it's become. And I don't think that the government is supposed to be doing that. So, but they do it anyway, don't they? The devil puts his people, these spiritual wicked leaders, in high places, and they oppress the people. But God also gives us the people that we deserve as a nation. Now, do you individually deserve that? Not necessarily, but this country has gone, you know, who's the one that's promoting abortion in every nation? Who's the one that's promoting all the sodomy in Africa? Who's the ones that are, you know, trying to just put an army base in every single country in the world? It's this country here. So they're doing a lot of things that aren't right. But does that mean we don't obey the laws? No, it doesn't. We're supposed to still obey because God ordained government. Now, what if it's not biblical? Well, you know, I don't think that they had cars that could go 100 miles an hour back then. So there's nothing wrong with putting a law against, you know, this excessive speeding and stuff like that. So, or, you know, but here's the thing. They don't even execute murderers anymore. They don't execute rapists. They don't execute pedophiles. The government is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But is it our job to make them do what they're supposed to do? It's not our job. See, everything basically rises. God, when he's going to deliver, he's going to deliver. And when he goes to take out people, he takes them out. We see lots of different evil dictators in the Bible, and God ends up wrecking their lives at some point. But it's not for us to do that. That's out of our realm of authority. Now it says, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So, you know, there is an honor to the office. You know, I don't think anybody in here would say that, you know, would spit on the ground if they heard President of the United States or whatever. You know, and just because there's a wicked person in that office doesn't mean the office isn't to be respected. So we are to obey the government until they ask us to sin or to overstep their bounds in our homes, to overstep their bounds in the church. So that's why there's, you know, God has his own checks and balances, and he's the main checker, okay? And the government has to, you know, be subject to him. The family has to be subject to him. The church is subject to him. So when they say we can't preach the Bible or the gospel or force us to take unclean things into our body, we don't have to obey that. We don't have to. Now, I'm not going to get down on you if you get the vaccination, whatever. You can do whatever you want. But, you know, I think that there's clear principles in the Bible that says that we shouldn't. But if you did, say you're in the military and you've gotten 73 vaccinations already, you know, really, if you're going to lose your whole career in the military, what's another one going to harm you? I mean, you're kind of dying on a hill that you've already died on. You know, you're resurrected and then dying on it again or whatever. So, and I'm not saying you have, I mean, maybe you didn't get saved till after you had the 72nd vaccination. I get that also. And you want to make a stand there, make a stand. Amen. You know, you got to do what's right in your conscience when it comes to those types of things. I'm just saying that the government doesn't have the right to tell us we have to do some kind of medical procedure to ourselves when it's in violation of the scriptures. Amen. Okay? And so there's a lot of pressure out there for the vaccines right now. Yeah. I understand that. But as far as I know, every single person in our church that got a vaccine letter from me has passed and not had to get fired. I didn't get fired. Rylan didn't get fired. Brother Eli didn't get fired. Who else didn't get fired? Brother Temo didn't get fired. Amen. Brother Remy didn't get fired. Who else didn't get fired? Brother Sean, are you still hanging in the balance there? What's going on? You're still hanging, all right. Well, you know, and some people didn't get it. You know, some people didn't, you know, their workplace didn't get it. Well, here's my philosophy on that. I was looking for a job when I found that one. Okay. So there's other jobs out there. There's a lot of pukes over across the river that won't even get up and they won't get up and even go to work. So there's plenty of jobs out there right now. But of course, they're asking for a vaccine. They're asking for a vaccination. But hey, construction work, you know, working for your own, you know, for some smaller company, maybe that's the road that you need to go down. Don't get all worried because, you know, God promised that he wasn't going to leave us or forsake us. Do you think he's going to just make you be homeless all of a sudden? Have you been homeless your whole life? No, you haven't. Has God always taken care of you? Yes, he has. Have you always had enough? Maybe not. But it's enough to you're still alive. Everybody's still here. I don't know anybody in here that's been like homeless for their whole lives because God just didn't take care of them. You know, so you got to have some faith. But if they introduce or if they intrude in our government giving commands or God-given commands, for in the Bible, what the Bible says, for faith and practice or family structure, marriage, raising children, bedtimes, how we dress, what we think, etc., we are allowed to disobey and civilly disobey those things. But again, it's up to you on what you want to do. So if you want to fight every single battle that the government brings to you, then, you know, that's your choice. But I don't think that we should be anti-government. Maybe anti-whatever that government person, who that person is, if it's Pete Buttigieg or whatever his name is, that dude's a fag, and I don't have any respect for him at all, because he shouldn't even be in the government at all. You know, it just came out that he had, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but it's just been building up, so I'm going to uncork the bottle here for a minute. But he gets on this post and says, oh, me and my husband had two precious little kids. I feel sorry for those kids. I feel bad for those kids because you know what they're going to do to them. What do you think they're going to be? They're the exception to the rule. It's going to be loving parents. No, they're probably part of some sick, you know, twisted thing, and they're high up in government. They're going to be untouchable, just like Hillary Clinton's untouchable, just like Joe Biden's untouchable, you know, and I feel bad for them. But I don't respect them, and that's why, you know, we're allowed to preach against government rulers. The Bible, you know, Jeremiah was a prophet unto the nations. Isaiah was a prophet unto the nations. And they'd go to places and say, you guys are wicked, you guys are wrong, God's going to destroy you, you know. And so the Word of God trumps what the government says. The Word of God trumps their rules. And so now, could we pay a price because we resist that power? Yeah. But again, that's up to you whether you're willing to do that or not. Now, I'm not going to fight over every little thing, you know, every tax that comes out. I'm not going to fight it. You know, there's some of it we can't even fight. Like they have this new rule in Washington where, you know, it's like a 50-something, every $100 you make, they take 58 cents out of your paycheck to go to, I think, some kind of CARES Act or something. What is it?
Long-term care.
Long-term care, yeah. And they just passed that in Washington, so now it's just another thing that they, you know, that they're taxing us on. Inflation's going through the window, through the ceiling right now. Everything's costing. I mean, have you noticed how much groceries have gone up? It's crazy. It's like, I got 10 items. How's that $156? What in the world? It's bananas. it's nuts. Anyway, so Ephesians 6. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, God is the main structure. The church is his agent on the earth. Okay? He also put government together. But it's got a finite, you know, set of things that are they're supposed to be here for the punishment of evildoers and to defend our borders. Okay? And so, now, is it evil to speed? It can be. You know, some people just are weaving through traffic. Don't look at me, Sheila. Don't look at me, Miss Sheila. But I'm saying if you're doing it in a way that's dangerous, you're actually like just don't, you know, those people that just, you can tell they just don't care about other people's lives. That's different. Like, I do speed. I'm just going to admit it right now. But, you know, sorry about that. Lord, I apologize. But I'm talking about people that are reckless. You know, there you can be a reckless driver where you're putting other people at risk, and that is wrong. So, I mean, there's things that the government puts up, but I mean, there's like over 10,000 laws of the federal government that you probably don't even know about. And if you commit that crime, you know, there's all these loopholes where they just try to get you for anything. If they want to get you, they're going to get you. So, like lobsters, it's like a felony to catch lobsters under a certain size or something. It's like, did you guys know that? You're like out there just catching lobsters, some ranger walks up to you. It's a federal crime. I mean, it's in some states, it's a major felony. And so there's all kinds of things that, you know, bringing stuff home from a different country. You know, there's all these rules about that. And if you don't know what you're not supposed to bring home, obviously you're not supposed to bring home snakes and stuff like that. I get that. But there's even artifacts or things like that. There's just all these rules. How can we know all these rules? Well, we can't. And I don't feel like it's my job to study every rule and every law that's put into place in this country. But just know this, if you don't, that you could get caught into that loophole of some weird law. So, you know, and obviously God's going to be there to help us and protect us and things like that. So anyway, let's move on here. Ephesians 6:5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart of your heart as unto Christ." So I would take this modern day to be, if you're working for somebody, you know, they're your master according to the flesh, your boss. If your boss, you know, you should fear your boss. And it says fear and trembling, singleness of heart. And you're supposed to obey that boss like you obey Christ. So if they tell you something that you don't like, you know, it's not okay to just, you know, cuss them out or tell them they're idiots or whatever. And in the workplace, there's a lot of people that do stuff like that. Now, I realize that eventually some person could just push you too far and you might have to say something. But, you know, God is saying we should be obedient to them and have fear and trembling. And we're supposed to do it as unto Christ. So even ultimately in the workforce, you know, we have bosses after the flesh, but who's ultimately our boss? Christ. See, he's in every sphere of control of anything that he's enacted, the government, our family, and the church. So, and it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So you're supposed to work your job like you work for God. So how do you work? I hope you work for God good. But it says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So when you work your job, you shouldn't look at it like I work for such and such construction or I work for such and such hospital. And you do, and you should do a good job up to their standards. But ultimately, if you look at it like, hey, I'm working for the Lord, then that's going to help you in your work. And that's the authority that God's put in your life when it comes to what you do for a living. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So God's going to reward you for working like that. Look at Ephesians, or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to read this last verse here. It says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. So there's rules for bosses too. If you're somebody's boss, you know, it says, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening. That means you're not just sitting there threatening. You're going to be fired if you don't do what I say. I mean, you're just always threatening people and stuff like that. That's not how we're supposed to be. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So as bosses, we're supposed to be good and decent to our workers. Does that mean we never should yell at them? I don't know. Sometimes people need to get yelled at. I get that. And I do it sometimes. So I'll just be, Brylan knows, he's back there. He's probably nodding his head like, yep. So, but we're supposed to, you know, be good bosses. If you're a boss or if you're in leadership over someone, if I just yelled and screamed at you guys for everything that you did wrong, would you like that? You probably wouldn't. You'd probably find a new church where the pastor doesn't yell at you all the time. Now, doesn't mean I can't correct you. Doesn't mean I can't reprove you for things or rebuke you in some situations, but it's just not a good management style to just that you're always screaming and yelling and threatening. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So even if your boss is a jerk and he's always screaming at you, it still says to be good and gentle, even to the froward ones. So you don't, it's not an escape route for you. It's not a clause to get out of it. You're still supposed to be subject unto your masters with all fear. So, but also to the, you know, we're supposed to honor the king. It says to love the brotherhood. It says to fear God and honor all men. So, I mean, God wants us to get along in this world as best as we can. And when things come our way that are just something that we can't, you know, we can't abide by, it violates the word of God, then that's when you stand up and say something. And, you know, you didn't see like Elijah chopping the king into pieces. Do you think he could have? The way he dealt with Ahab is he preached the word of God to him, and he told him he was wrong, but that doesn't mean that he said, okay, I'm just going to take it upon myself to overthrow the king. So we got to be careful with that kind of stuff. Now, we shouldn't start, you know, we're a church, we're here to put forth the kingdom of God. The kingdom of men is not really our concern so much. There's nothing we can do to stop it. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. All we can do is make our difference and put our stamp on the world for the Lord Jesus and for his kingdom. Right? And so we just shouldn't, you know, people get so involved in politics. There's even people that say that they're not Fox News Baptist, but they truly are. Yeah. I mean, if you're all you're doing is preaching about how you want to honor soldiers and all this other stuff, like, fine, do whatever you want. But, you know, I'm just not into that. And I don't think that God tells us to be that way. Show me where it says that we're supposed to be involved. I mean, I'm not saying we can't be involved, but do you think you're actually going to become the president of the United States in Babylon, USA? You got another thing coming. It's not going to happen. You're not going to change this world through the government ever. It's not going to happen. You're going to change this world through going to church and reading the Word of God and praying and going soul winning and caring about people. That's what's going to make any changes, if there's even any changes going to be made. Or is there a bunch of churches in Vancouver just like this church? No, there's not. It's getting less. And even the ones that come to churches like this, they fall out. And it's like, oh, I want a church so bad in this area. And then you just don't come to church? Really? Well, then go back to the old IFB. Have fun. Have fun worshiping your American flag and your Trail of Blood flag, the Baptist. Look, we don't worship the Baptist either. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Bible. Amen. And I'm not going to put the flag of a nation that murders 3,000 souls a day, little children, that doesn't put and punish the evildoers like the Bible says to do in Romans chapter 13. They just let them rot in prison while we pay for their bunks? I don't think so. And their three hots and a cot and all their medical and their transitions to become a man or a woman when that's not what they were born as? I don't respect that. You know, I respect I love the people of America. I want the people of America to be saved. But do I respect, like, the flag? Am I going to sit there and say, I pledge allegiance to a flag? I pledge allegiance to God. Amen. That's it. Amen. That's who my allegiance, God and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This world is not going to get better by joining the government or fighting all these medical things and medical policies and, you know, just beating the drum of COVID all the time. That's not changing the world, folks. Right. You're just feeding the conspiracies. And it is a conspiracy. I get it. But I learned a long time ago that Alex Jones is not going to reach people. Right. When I started telling my family about some of these things, they were like looking at me like I was nuts. And you know what? Because if all you're doing is preaching Alex Jones, then people are going to think you're nuts. Yeah. The police state's here. It's been here for a long time. Right. You know, and COVID, yeah, we know it's a big conspiracy. But people still die from it. Yeah. Yeah.
There's people that think it's the mark of the beast. They're taking it too far. And all they ever talk about is COVID, 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 COVID. Well, you know what? I'd like to focus on something else. How about God's kingdom? Amen. How about God's people? Let's focus on that for a while instead. And there's people that have fallen out. I just see them. All they ever post about on Facebook is about COVID and COVID land and all this other stuff. It's like, get a life. Amen. You left a Bible-believing Baptist church so you could just pound the drum of some stupid documentary? Yep, right. That's ridiculous. You just love America so much that you're just going to leave, a good Baptist church because you just don't agree about some of the things that they believe about the government? Big deal. That's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Right. Ultimately, isn't it? Whether Trump gets in or not, I think he got robbed out of the election. We live in a dictatorship. It's going to a bobsled to hell right now. But what are you going to do about it? You know what we should be doing about it? We should be serving God and doing the best we can for his kingdom and for his people and proclaiming the word of God everywhere. Amen. And not jumping onto politics all the time. Amen. Just show me how politics save people. Now, have there been people in the right place at the right time, like Esther? Yes. But that was a place a long time ago. Look, it's not going to happen here. The Esther situation is not going to happen because all those people are devils that are running our government right now. Right. If there's not one person with a backbone that will stand up to the evils of this country, they're no politician at all worth me, having anything to do with. Now, local governments, that's a different story. You could probably get some decent people in local governments. But do you think Governor Inslee is a revenger of good for the people or something? He's one of the most wicked governors we've ever had. Kate Brown Trout, same thing. You gotta wear a mask outside. Why? Can't you just stay 6 feet away from somebody? It's so stupid. But you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to get your focus off the things of God and onto other stuff that doesn't really matter. Amen. If you're dumping all your hard-earned money into some stupid documentary that is not going to help anybody with an incomplete gospel message at the end of it, Then have fun. But I'm going to do something different. Amen. Anyway, so Pharaoh. Think about Pharaoh. What did he do? He killed all the male children. And what did how did they rebel? Well, they said, we're not going to kill them. And they saved the men children alive. And what did God do for them? For civilly disobeying? He built them houses, blessed their lives. So to say that we have to obey the government no matter what, and people take that stance on Romans 13, that's insane. Mm-hmm. Yep, just throw the babies in. Hey, the government told me to. How'd that work out for the Nazis? Hey, I was just following orders. No. There's some points that you have to make a stand on, and the government isn't always right in every situation. Herod the Great killed all the innocent children from 2 and under in Bethlehem to try to kill the Messiah, to try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And, what ended up happening to him? Died and went to hell. Jezebel killing Nabal to take his vineyard. Taking the property of somebody else. And what happened to her? Eaten by dogs. Thrown out of a window, eaten by dogs. Amen. All that was left was the palms of her hands. Amen. Herod, the son of Herod the Great, which is the Herod that Jesus had to deal with, he stole his brother's wife. He was preached against for that. He killed and he murdered John the Baptist because some girl danced for him good. And then he killed James with the sword. And what happened to him? He was eaten up of worms. He was rotted from the inside. He was killed. By God. See, God will remove these wicked people out of our lives, but sometimes we get what we deserve. Why are all these natural disasters happening? You think it's just an accident? Oh, it's because of global warming? That's what they're going to say. But it's not global warming. It's God's just bubbling up with wrath. And so people, and our governments are the one perpetuating all these lies. But we can't focus on that. Now, I'm going to go to my last one here. Number 3, the authority of the home. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. I'm going to speed through this. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is the man, the head of Christ is God." So there's the family structure right there. The Bible spells it out for us. Who's the head of the home? Christ. Who's the head of the woman? Man. When you get married, I know that some women don't believe this, but guess what? Your husband's supposed to be your boss. And we have a real problem with that in this country too. You know, they know it. They hear it in the church. They hear it in the, they see it in the Bible, but they don't practice it. You know, they're all over their husbands and you know, henpecking them to death all the time. It's wrong. You know, and some women are dominated in that way, and they know they can get away with it. And when you know it's wrong and you're doing it anyway, that's a wicked attitude. You know, some of your husbands are so henpecked they have a roost at the bottom of the bed. You know, where they can perch, and it's not right. So, look at verse number 8. It says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." See, this is a chunk of the Bible that a lot of women can't handle. But God, you know, why don't you just conform to the natural order of things? And it's not just the natural order of things, it's what the Bible actually says. That's how we should live, that's how our family should run. And men, if you need to grow some hair on your legs and rule your family. Don't just let your wife dominate you all the time. Sometimes you got to make a stand, a little line in the sand, say, "Listen, woman, you will cook me lunch. You will make me breakfast. You will make sure dinner's on the table. And in exchange, I will work." No. We're all working. It's just what is your job? You know, you do your job, I'll do mine. And you shouldn't be throwing it in, "Oh, look at how much I did. Look, we both work." Okay? So that's how it works. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves." Ooh, that's a hard one right there. Submit? Me? Obey him? That's what, you know, and it's what's really sad is pastors won't even preach this. They're scared to preach this. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands." Not to everybody else's husbands. Not to the manager at Jack in the Box. You know, not to that man, the man that's your husband. As unto who? The Lord. So, and there, you know, it's getting quiet in here. I understand that. But that's what the Bible says, folks. You know, lump it, like it or lump it, that's what it says. And you should be doing your best to conform to what the Word of God says. All right, did I ask you to turn there? Go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 5. We were already there earlier, but I just wanted to have you turn there real quick. All right. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in whatever you feel like doing, as long as he is doing what he's supposed to be doing." No, it says in everything, doesn't it? So that's a tough scripture to chew on, but you know what? That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're like, "Well, I don't like this, you know, misogynistic preaching, Pastor Thompson." Well, there's plenty of churches around here you can go to. You know, I'll even find them for you on the internet. We used to have the yellow pages, but we don't really have that anymore. But I'll Google churches that don't preach this, and you just put your finger on one of them, and I guarantee you they're not going to preach this. So it says in verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything." Verse 33, skip down there, it says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, go ahead and turn over to chapter 6. So the authority structure is clear in the Bible. Christ is the head of the home, and men, you should understand that too. You know, if you're not following Christ, if you're not following Christ the way you should be, then it's a detriment to the rest of your family. It's just like a false doctrine in church can lead to other false doctrines. Well, you not being the spiritual head in your family, you know, and not being under the what Christ says to do, then it's going to cause problems with the rest of your family. It's going to cause your children not to be raised right. It's going to cause your wife to not respect you. It's going to, you know, if your wife knows the Bible better than you because you're just too lazy to read it, that's a shame. It's a shame. Look at Ephesians 6:1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." See, even in the family structure, there's still checks and balances. Hey, children, you're supposed to obey your parents. You're supposed to honor your father and mother. You shouldn't hit them. You shouldn't yell at them. You shouldn't scream at them. You shouldn't roll your eyes when your parents tell you to do something. You just do it. You need to learn to fear God, but parents, you need to make your children fear you. If they do one of those eye rolls on you, they should be smacked out of their chair. Seriously. Don't let your children rule you. If your children are ruling your life and you wake up in the morning and you're like, "Oh, this is going to be another rough day of my kid telling me what to do. They're 2 years old." But then you're just like, you know, every time your two-year-old's around. "Just go to sleep, dear. It'll be fine." You know, you're like, someone's having to wave you with a fan, give you anti-anxiety pills or something. It's like, you rule the home. Dads, you're supposed to rule the home, but moms, you're supposed to rule the home too. It's not just dad's job to discipline. So there's a structure in the home that's going to make everything right. Do you want your kids to be delinquents? Do you want your kids to be bad? Well, just go ahead and let them do whatever they want then. Let them spend the night wherever they want. Let them hang out with whatever kid they want. Let them listen to whatever they want. Let them watch whatever they want. And I guarantee you they're going to turn out bad. And whose fault is it going to be? "Oh, my kid just won't come to church." You know why? Because they just saw what you were like in your home. Mm-hmm. They're just copying you. You're just better at faking it. So, you know, there's a structure in the home, and we should all obey it. And you know what? Even to the point that God is the ultimate authority over the family too. So once you get to this point where you're saying, you know what, I want to serve Christ, the dad is serving Christ in the home, or, you know, it doesn't even have, you know, a family structure could be just one person. You could be a single person, but your structure still comes from God. Your God is still the head of your home. So it's like, "Well, I don't have a wife. I don't have kids." Well, you know what? That's okay. You can still serve God and let him be the head of your family, even though it's just one. Amen? So, and then, you know, we're not supposed to choose our family over God. See, that's where people go wrong too. They're like, "Well, you know, we just need some family time. We need to, you know, do this or that." Like, "Oh, you couldn't do family time on Wednesday or Monday or Tuesday or Friday or Saturday. It had to be the day that you're supposed to be at church, right?" You know, people want to take a vacation from God. "God, I just want to take a vacation from you." That should not be something that enters into our mind. "Well, I just want to skip church this one time because I'm always at church." Yeah, that's where God wants you. Amen. All the time. Yep. 3 days, three times, whenever the church doors are open. You know, he wants you to be involved because, you know what? The moment you start slipping and not coming, the moment you start just saying, "Ah, it's not that important. Nobody's going to miss me." I miss everybody when they're gone every time. Amen. And I know who's not here, and I know who is. And it's like, well, I guess there was something more important than serving God to them. You know, and especially if you live in this town and you're not showing up for all the services, I don't understand that. Sorry, and I'm going to step on your toes right now. I don't care. If you live in town and you can't make it to the midweek service, I mean, unless someone's shot or dying in the hospital or something, or you're having a baby or whatever, you had to work an extra shift, man. You know, every once in a while that happens, I understand that. But if you can be here, you should be here. Amen. And if you only live like 5 miles from here and you only come to one service a week, then you're slipping. Yeah. And you're moving off the path. Yeah. And you're obviously not putting God first. That's the authority in your life. It's not yourself, it's the Lord. So Jesus said in Matthew 19:27, he said, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. And every one that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and inherit everlasting life." So, Here's the thing. Why is he talking about forsaking houses and brethren and sisters and father and mother and wife and children and lands? Because sometimes you have to. Because sometimes their mission is something different than yours. Even if your own children rebel against the Lord, you know, you have to forsake them. If your child becomes a sodomite, you forsake them. You have nothing to do with them. If your child just hates God and wants nothing to do with them, forsake them. Because you know what? The Bible says you're going to receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And obviously you get everlasting life for believing. But the good rewards you get is, you know, having a hundredfold of those things. Guess what? When you come to church, you have a lot of, you could have a lot of children. People you got saved that got into church. Amen. You could have a lot of parents, elder people that you look up to and that you love, and they give you good advice. And they could take the place of that relative that hates God and doesn't want anything to do with them. Amen. Or doesn't want anything to do with you. Maybe they don't hate God. Maybe they just don't want to have anything to do with you because they don't believe in God. But we should never put our family over the top of God and His plan. If my wife divorced me tomorrow and I had to step down from being the pastor and she went off and left me or whatever, I would still serve God. Amen. That would be my plan. So, you know, whether your children want to be, if your children grow up and they're like, you know what, I'm just not into this anymore. Like, well, I'm not that into you either. Do you think I'm going to change my life because somebody doesn't want to follow God? You're crazy. Amen. I don't care who it is. I'm not going to change. I don't care if it's my mom, my dad, anybody. You're not going to pull me away from serving the Lord. And you know what? God is supposed to be number one in our lives. And you know what? You're like, do you really mean that, Pastor Thompson? I really mean that. And I really do mean that. So if my kids are like, well, why can't you just come, you know, skip church? I'm not skipping church. First of all, I'm the pastor. That'd be kind of weird. But second of all, I'm just not going to do it. Even if I wasn't the pastor, I would still go to church 3 times a week, just like I have for the last 20-something years, and I've only been a pastor for 5. Amen. I'm still going to be the same. And you know what? I'm still going to walk away from anybody that walks away from God. Amen. I'm still not going. I mean, it's funny how family members are like, oh, you know, well, you didn't come to this or that. It's like, yeah, well, don't plan it on a Sunday then. Because you know what? God's more important to me than anything else. You know, that's their way. They want to just get at you somehow. Yep. Hey, why don't you come visit us and do this or that? It's like, well, as long as it's not on a Sunday or soul winning or Thursday, then I'm good. You know, Saturdays are open. So, you know what I mean? It's just, we got to put our God first. Amen. And yes, support your family. Yes, love your family. All that stuff. But if you have to forsake them, then God, like I said, in everything I've talked about today, God trumps everything. God trumps the government doing what they're not supposed to be doing. God trumps family members that are not following Him. And God is the one that trumps everything in the church because He is the ultimate authority. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for just having stability, having government, Lord. And I am thankful to live in this country, Lord. I'm thankful because it's still the greatest nation on earth where we can get the most done. But Lord, I also want to thank You for my family and Lord for the family that follows God. And I'm just so thankful that all my children follow You and love You and their spouses. And I just pray that You would save my grandchildren. Lord, I just pray that people in this church would just realize just how important it is to follow You and serve You in every sphere of our authorities in our life. And Lord, that You would be number one at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now let's sing our last song, page 430 in your green hymnals. While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks, page 430 in your green hymnals. While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks, page 430. He's ready to sing. Page 430, green hymnals. Let's all sing it out on that first verse. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord
mighty dread has seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you and all mankind. To the heavenly babe you there shall find to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swathing bands and in a manger laid, and in a manger laid
on the last.
All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men begin and never cease. Begin and never cease.
Man, it's great seeing you this morning and great singing. I'd like to see you back here at 3:30. Brother Sean Collin, can you end us with a word of prayer?